This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? It's your boy, Gabrus. The number one fuckboy is on tour in Texas in early February. Please check me out. Thursday, February 6th at White Oak Music Hall in Houston, Texas. My guest will be Stephanie Whittles Wox. Check me out in the North Door in Austin, Texas on February 7th on Friday. My guests will be Chris Cubis and Brian Garr, local Austin comics who I'm a huge fan of. And then, of course, Saturday, February 8th at the Sons of Herman Hall in Dallas, Texas, we're doing live action, boys. So that's right. I'm flying Stanger and Rogers in. The February 8th show is not a High and Mighty podcast. It's an official Action Boys live episode. Get your tickets now at headgum.com/live or keep an eye peeled on my Instagram and Twitter because I'll be promoting the shit out of this in the next couple of weeks. Check it out, y'all. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Standing 6'1", 307 pounds. Out of Long Island, New York, it's the number one fuckboy. Oh, Johnny G. Joining me as always in this High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Yes, there he is. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, first time guest, long time friend, we got Craig Lowy Lowe. Lowy Lowe makes it sound like you have like a kid's name. We call you Lowy.
It makes it sound like I definitely drive NASCAR.
It's weird that my other, like, my best friend who's a small, loud Australian is named Paul Young, but everyone calls him Youngie.
Youngie!
Yeah, hey, it's Youngie. And yeah. Now, and then once we started playing rugby together in New York, it became Yummy. Because we all gave each other like weirdly homoerotic nicknames. Obviously, I'm Gay Bruce.
Learning so much in the first minute already.
Yeah. Well, Craig Lowe, welcome to High and Mighty. I'm glad we finally figured this out. Yeah. I messaged you about doing this, and then I was like, give me your email. I'll email you about it. And when I emailed you, I realized we had emailed about this 9 months ago.
We did this 9 months ago. You're like, do you want to come on? I was like, yeah, but I'm not here. And you were like, circle back. And then I circled back, and then we both forgot. And then you were like, here's my number. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've texted you. And then I went back, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've texted him when I was blackout at Universal Studios. I think I texted you something like, my girlfriend fucking loves Lauren Lapkus. And you were like, yeah, tight.
That is exactly what you texted me. I was like, all right, well, see you soon, man.
Cool, man. Great chat. Thanks for the update.
How are things, Lo?
Man, things are great. I'm just ready to attack this fucking new year with a new me.
2020. Well, interesting. You're a pro. That's a little bit of a segue. A little bit of a little seggy, mate. Get yourself a little bit of a seggy now. We have ourselves a segue into what we want to talk about. We want to talk about self-care for the boys.
For the man, baby.
For the men.
Yeah.
And we are understanding that in 2020, self-care is for everybody. But
now it is, apparently.
Yeah, but we just know that men are hesitant to even use the term self-care.
Yeah.
Because it's but once you realize, once someone articulates what, because I'm just like, oh, I don't fit in bathtubs and I don't use bath bombs, so I don't do self-care. And someone's like, well, self-care is also meditating, going to the gym, using a sauna. And I'm like, oh, okay, never mind, backing off.
Yeah, I think we all used to, like, as dudes, we were all just like, oh, you just gotta go meditate? All right, fag. And then a lot of us were getting anger issues, like ruining friendships. And then it just took one of us to be like, hey man, sage ain't that bad.
Yeah, and you're like, ooh, you know what? I do enjoy a candle in my...
It
is peaceful. And now I've got all these things that used to be like, because of some masculine construct, something that you'd be like, well, I don't... Now I got friends, I'm like, yo, what lotion do you use?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this has changed. When I was a kid, I was, you know, like when I was younger, you were so afraid to be called, so afraid to get like a homophobic insult thrown your way.
Yeah,
and
now
you're
thing.
Like, and now you're like, wait a minute, I missed out. Gary Goldman in his special talks about how his people were so tough on him about that Sprite was a gay drink, and he never drank Sprite, despite he wanted Sprite so bad, but he always ordered Coke because if he ordered Sprite, someone would call him gay.
Bro, I quit rollerblading because of that joke about rollerblading.
I know.
Someone's like, what's the hardest part about being a rollerblader? Tell her your parents are gay.
I know.
I was like, well, I guess I got to stop inline skating now. I guess that's how I catch it.
Yeah.
And then you move to LA, and you're just like, Oh, okay. I was dumb.
Yeah, that was a great way to travel. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I was so afraid of being mocked for wearing a helmet that when my mom said, if you ride your bike, you have to wear a helmet. It's the law. And it became the law in New York when I was like 14. And I was like, just put my bike in the garage and never rode it again. I was just like, no. I was like, that's insane to me. That was my method of transportation. Yeah. I had like, I got to wear a seatbelt in the car. Fuck the car.
Yeah. But
I was so afraid to get made fun of. And yes. I can't believe I existed. I made choices based on that for so long.
But we all did. Every guys in our age bracket, we're in this weird moment between...
It doesn't help that I'm from Long Island and you're from Australia.
No.
Two places that
aggressive.
Are kind of closed-minded and...
Yeah.
Not for the right reasons, but believe themselves to be macho.
Got to be macho. You got like any sign of aggression, you got to be down to fight like immediately, like for no apparent reason. Even like instead of figuring out your problem solving skills, it's like, guess I got to smash this guy with a bottle. It's like it's 4 p.m. at a Chili's. It's time to rock. But like we grew up and like our dads and all that were macho dudes. And then we get to a point now when women are like, hey, it'd be nice if you guys could talk about your feelings. And we're like, we wanted to forever, but we didn't know we were allowed.
Yeah, I mean, it was considered soft to be like open about anything.
Yeah.
You know, like you would get called gay if you said you liked a girl.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that's how wound tight my peer group was and it's the 90s.
Yes.
And it's Long Island and be like, dude, I think I have a crush on Joanne. And they'd be like, dude, that's gay.
Yeah.
You have crushes. I'm like, but it is a girl.
Yeah.
Like, I want to.
Yeah.
I'm so obviously, this is a heterosexual feeling.
Yeah.
You're like, but crush, dude? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, fine. I don't like her.
And you look back on any of the movies we loved from that era, like from 90s to the 2000s,
ooh,
and they would just use homophobic slurs as punchlines that back then you were like, nailed it. And now as a grown-up, I'm like, all my friends who were gay at that age must have felt terrible watching
this. Must have been brutal. I rewatch a lot of old movies for this podcast, Action Boys.
Yeah.
And a lot of shit, you're like, I can't believe this is what I grew up watching.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the show, the movie Monster Squad, which is four kids, has like this insane body shaming scene, like roasting this kid for being fat, like mean, stepping on a Snickers bar and making him eat it.
And then the other kid shows up, the non-bully bully.
Yeah, the guy with like who wears loafers and like has a, lights a cigarette with matches. But then also there's so much homophobic shit in that.
So
and I'm
much.
Like, I can't believe.
Mm.
And that was just everywhere. And then, I mean, even all the way up until Apatow, they stopped using like the F word and like aggressive stuff.
Yeah.
But they still started doing like, dude, don't be gay. That's gay or whatever.
Yeah. The only time I drop an F bomb is when I'm doing an impression of someone. But if I'm at my home and it goes into my brain, I'm very quick to be like, don't you? Or when I get real angry in traffic, just from years of being, I know I'm allowed to say this word. And now I find myself, I'll be like, stop, do some breathing exercises. Right.
We used to literally call everything gay in like seventh or eighth grade. Be like, oh, we got homework. That's gay.
Yeah.
And we didn't even mean it like gay, but we were using the word gay to mean something negative.
Yeah. Like you'd say, you're going to go hang out with your girlfriend, homo. You're like, wait, what? Am I going to go spend time with my other heterosexual partner? Yes. Yeah,
so
I am.
What Mia and Craig are saying is retroactively cancel us for our behavior from 25 years ago.
Yeah. Which is terrifying now as a coming up comedian, because I sit there at night staring at the roof like, did I say anything in 2007 to anyone? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I for sure did, but I'm happy. I think saying that we used to be wrong and now have learned is important, because I think people, rather than say I'll change, or they'll say like, I can't admit that I've been wrong, so I have to just double down and go, I should be able to say this. I feel like that's the attitude, because so many people just want to be right. So many people just want to win that they think if they say like, all right, I got to stop saying the N-word, that they are losing something.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay. You maybe we all used to be scumbags. Like, you know, we're changing.
Yeah.
But let's cop to that so other people feel okay to go from being a piece of shit to being slightly more open-minded.
Well, weirdly, I read that in a self-help book called, it was called Emotional First Aid, but it was about if you apologize to someone, you need to clarify that you understand what you did was wrong. The worst apology is that bullshit when someone does this. Well, I'm sorry that made you feel this way.
Right.
Because what you're doing,
you're just putting it on the other person.
Deflecting. You're like, this is because you're a little bitch. Instead of being like, what I said was hurtful. I'm sorry. I have to do that so many times now. And there's nothing worse as a comedian. You've seen it on Twitter. When someone tries to double down as like a hardcore comedian or edgy, like, well, why can't I say it? Why should I get fired for that? It's like, bro, you can say whatever you want, but there's consequences to everything.
Right. Yeah.
Thought I could say this.
You can
say,
you can go up to a guy who has a gun and go, shoot me in the face, motherfucker. Yeah. But if you get shot in the face, that's not like, hey, come on, you can't free my speech.
I thought I could say it. Is this not America?
Speaking of self-care, you're getting a little tongue massage from Artie. Do you got lotion on your arms?
Yeah, I do.
I knew it. He loves lotion. I got a little coconut oil on mine. Wait, that's fucking awesome, by the way. You just casually mentioned a self-help book you read.
Yeah.
What brought you to read that? And how long ago was this?
I found that like there was like 3 or 4 really great girls I dated that I would just implode being a creative, just being like, didn't know how to fully... Like, I wouldn't say they were temper tantrums, but I would just get so flustered, I would just be like, I don't know what the fuck's going on right now. Like, just Bill Burr it.
Yeah. We were talking about that with some friends where you accidentally internalize the things you're stressed about, but you don't know how to convey, I'm actually have career anxiety or blah, blah, blah. You don't know how to say something like that.
Yeah.
So you just go, like, yell at someone in traffic.
Yeah.
Shit on someone at the gym or your SIGA who's in the room with you.
Yeah.
When they're like, what's wrong? You're like, I told you nothing.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
That doesn't sound like nothing.
Yeah. You deflected somewhere else. It wasn't meant to be. I think I had a meltdown. Maybe it was like Trader Joe's. Someone bought like clearly 20 items and do that 15 item.
The Express, that motherfucker.
And then immediately the next guy up was like, hey, how's your day doing? Like to take it. And I was like, I don't know, man. Maybe if someone fucking knew how to count, I'd be out of here by now. And this guy's just like, oh, thanks for yelling. I'm earning $15 an hour now.
And you know this is not my fault at all.
No, all I was doing was my job. Yeah. I'm sorry, little fella.
So after kind of having some, whatever you want to call it, angers,
just
issues,
implosions.
Or like, you know, emotional outbursts, let's say, someone recommended this book or you like sought out like...
One girl was nice enough to be like, you're a lovely guy, but you need to figure out your communication skills with other human beings. Akash Singh from MTV, you know.
Yeah, from Geico and the Flagrant ones.
Yeah, we were on MTV's hit TV series, Joking Off.
Which is where we met.
Which is where...
I can't believe we're both hopping on mic to being on the show, Joking Off. The name of it alone is humiliating.
I always
I've been on shows
MTV's
called
too.
Guy Code,
yeah.
Joking Off.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck am I?
Yeah. Yeah. Still putting them on the reel, though. Don't you worry about
that's all I got. I'm dying for new credits.
Yeah, I think we were in a writing meeting one day just for jokes, and I said something like, no, that's trash. And he goes, you can't just say that to people. And I was like, oh. And then I did that thing where you're like, let me just look back at my life real quick and see where all the problems are. Oh, it's 100%. What I'm saying it's not wrong what I'm saying. It's wrong how I'm saying it.
Right, right.
So I needed to go back and learn communication skills as a fully grown adult male.
You have to you have to empathize or consider the listener or the receiver of your communication.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Because you're like, oh, I might be quick and gruff and it might not bother me if someone talked to me like that.
Yeah.
But it definitely will bother other people. Shout out to Akash, truth teller for a long time.
Long time. Yeah.
And all you need is a friend to go, hey, man, that's actually not a cool way to. And then you're like, oh, shit. Okay.
No.
Because I was going to continue to do exactly this.
Yeah, I would have done it. And then you look at the patterns and you're like, oh, okay. The only thing that was weird about the Emotional First Aid book, it was a great book to read because it would be like, you know, you're internalizing this. And then you know how we all have fake fights in our head? That fake fight that with someone that you plan on seeing later. Apparently, if you have that fake fight in your head enough times, your brain releases the same chemical as actually having the fight. So your body thinks you've already had the fight with that person. So the next time you see them, you're already angry. And that other person might not even know what's going on.
Bruh, preacher to the motherfucking choir here. I do this shit to my wife. Like, so, like, because I'm home alone.
Yeah.
And, like, she'll leave something out, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, I can't believe you left this out. All right, yeah. Let's move this. And it's not even a big deal. But then she comes home and says anything like, hey, did you blah, 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 ask me a question? And I'm on the fifth round of the argument I've had. And she doesn't know that. She's just like, hey, what do you want to do for dinner? I'm like, well, why can't you make any decisions? Yeah. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I had a full-on first half of the day without you, but where you were a hypothetical.
Yeah, you don't know this. We already had this fight, and then you said this, but then I said this back, and wait for it, because I got this fucking dope line I was going to say to you if you said this.
But you also can kind of, you cheat yourself in saying that, like, well, it's better that I have this fight in my head and I get over it. But you don't get over it.
No.
You kind of sit in it. Yep. And it happens with friends, too, where you're like, oh, he's kind of... My boy's kind of annoying me, man. Then he shows up and you're like, if you got to say like, hey, the thing you did annoyed me.
Yes.
Like, that's the only thing you could do.
Yes.
But if you like, let it stew. And then it comes out. We all know about this. You saw it from your parents growing up when my dad would flip out on me. In hindsight, probably wasn't always about what I did.
No, it's like 10% you and 90% everything else.
I'd be like, I remember when I broke a window at the house, I didn't get in that much trouble. But one time I spilled a soda and I got like berated for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe my dad was going through some shit.
Yeah, and that's another, like, your old man, they didn't have self-help books back then. Like, if my dad
didn't graduate high school.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to fucking give a shit about the psychology of his thought process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Men weren't meditating on Long Island in 1973.
No. Men were drinking until they went to sleep.
Yeah.
They were drinking from when they got back from whatever they had to do until they went to bed. That was pretty much my dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God my dad worked long hours so he could make forced to take 10 to 12 hours off of drinking a day.
My dad would be so angry coming home from work that when we heard his car pull in, we would all get nervous, me and my brothers. Like, that's the energy. That's how much my dad hated
his how many brothers do you have?
I have two older brothers.
You're the youngest of three
I'm
boys.
I'm the youngest sack of shit out of these three, yeah.
I'm the oldest of three boys.
Are you? No.
Yeah. This is wild.
This is wild.
And funny you say that, because my dad worked nights. When he would come home, if we were awake, we'd all run to our beds and pretend to be asleep.
Yeah.
To not engage. Yeah. Like, he could be pissed. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd hear him walk in the door, and if you heard this, you're like, all right, rooms, go to the rooms. Yeah. Let's just play Lego.
So true. That sigh of like, oh shit, he's home.
Because he almost felt like he was like this. Now time to do my second job.
Right, yeah. He's like, I've been fucking dealing with idiot adults all day. Now I gotta go home to my three fucking rats. We're like barely humans, the three of us.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, dad, today, like, you don't know this, but today we got into, like, the crawl space.
You know?
My brother was on the roof earlier, you know? Like, we're just, like, three boys left alone is just crazy.
Or you'd all do that thing where you all try and run in because, like, if you broke a window, the three of you would have to tell your version first because whoever got in first, that was the version that was taken as the truth.
I'm curious how often you had to eat the broken window as the youngest because I'm 8 years older than my youngest brother, and my middle brother's a couple years younger than me. So when we were like 12 and 10, he was like 4.
Oh.
So we were like, he broke the lamp.
It's like, that's so
he's not
going to
get in trouble because he's 4. You know, and my dad loves him because my dad's soft from hitting the first two kids.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, it's okay. You broke the lamp. And we were like, you shut your fucking mouth. You take this.
That's
you
so
say
funny.
You broke it.
Yeah. Did your youngest brother get away with the most or did he?
The most.
Yeah, I get away with the most. And then my brother Ricky got left, who's the eldest, would be
got
your,
the worst.
Got the worst and still does to this day.
Same. I'm like, 38 years old and I get the worst from my fucking family.
Yeah, which makes no real sense because like
I moved literally as far away as I could be and still live in America. I guess Hawaii I could go to be just another flight away, but I'm as far away. I don't know who I was talking to about this, but I moved to Brooklyn like 4 months after school when I had no money to be doing that. I was a PA at VH1, but I just could not live at home anymore.
Yeah.
And once I went to college, I got a taste of not living underneath my parents. I was like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
And I still get the most shit. It's still like, well, Jonathan, you have to do blank. I'm like, I don't live here.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't lived on Long Island in 16 years.
Yeah.
It's up to someone else to get this shit done at this point.
And it's weird that your energy here in your home, you are your own man. You pay your your own bills on time. You got your own car, your own life. There's something about going back home that as soon as you're in your own home, you're no longer a man that you are, and all your energy of your own independence just feels like it gets sucked out of you.
It's funny. Oh, dude, this is way too timely. I just was talking to you how I was home for a couple of weeks at my family's, then my in-laws, because we both are from New York, and then some friends. The friend stuff was fun, but the family shit, having to be like, Mom, can I borrow the car to go get coffee? Because I didn't want to rent a car because I'm already spending so much money to get there. So, but then all of a sudden you become like, you're like, Mom, is there no tequila in the house? You know, I'm like, this is shit. And it's like, I can't believe the toilet paper sucks or whatever. And I'm like, this is all shit that my life is better.
Yep.
Now I'm spending all this money and choosing to sleep in a guest room in my childhood home.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be here. And then once I get here, I have to live like a kid.
Again.
Yeah. And it sucks. And you feel all that limiting shit. And maybe I will say, in interest of full disclosure, maybe myself and people who are in this situation kind of regress and lean into it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely guilty of like, oh, Jesus Christ, Mom, what's up with this fucking, you know, and I'm being like, I'm 14 again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, why am I talking like you
it's
start-
triggering to be home, I guess.
It is super triggering.
Yeah. Because
you talk to your parents like you're a teenager again. You're like, well, where the fuck is this? And then you're like, I don't talk to anyone like that. Why am I talking like this?
Why am I whining?
Yeah. Or my mom will like do my laundry out of the goodness of her heart. And I'll be like, you can't just fucking put those shirts in the dryers. You understand? It's a $200 shirt. She's like, why are you spending $200 on a shirt? I'm like, that's not the point right now.
Mom, they can't.
I'm a rich comedian.
You shrunk my extra medium.
Yeah. You shrunk my Urban Outfitters, which was already stupidly tight for no reason. Another thing I do, which I don't know if you've ever tried it. I got super into it and then I got super out of it. Have you ever heard of like Esther Hicks and the thought of manifestation and what you build and you become and the vibration of like,
no,
I am this, so therefore it's going to happen? Have you ever heard of
this?
Is it kind
of like The Secret?
It's like The Secret. It's like her and The Secret are going head to head to be the person to come up with it the most.
All right. I feel like I've heard people use the phrase like, well, I'm manifesting that.
Yeah.
So that's Esther Hicks is the person's name?
Esther Hicks is, but she does this thing where she talks in almost riddles. Like if you've ever heard any on YouTube, she talks in. So say I was Esther Hicks and I wanted to have a dog like Arthur. She would say something like, you need to believe that the dog that is to which it comes. It is not the vibration, but you are inside internally. You are Arthur. Arthur is you. And then you hear people at the seminar just slowly clap because obviously they don't want to look stupid. Like,
I totally got that.
Yeah.
Me, I'm understanding this. What about you?
Yeah. And she'll be like, do you not understand? I'm talking from the vortex. I'm like, I don't know what you mean.
Lady, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, people get sucked into that. I'm not a big fan of that only because I tried it and then I came really close to a movie role and then I didn't get it. And then I was like, how come this? And then it was like, oh no, the responsibility falls back on you. And I'm like, well, that's a shitty way to do self-help. It's like, if it goes correct, it's because this Esther woman told me about manifestation. But if it fucks up, it's because I did something wrong. I hate that stuff.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit more about what this manifesting means. It just means, because this is something I was dealing with for a while.
Yeah.
I used to build up something that I did, like I didn't want it and didn't care about it, so that if I didn't get it,
yeah,
I could go, see, I was right.
I was right. Yeah.
But I wasn't any happier because I was right that I wasn't going to get it.
Yes.
And then for that period of time, after you audition something or send something in and don't get it, there's like maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month that you're waiting to hear back.
Yeah.
And if that whole time you're like, well, I already didn't get it, you're already being negative. And then when it comes in, you're just validated in your negativity in a way that you're like, see?
Yeah.
But if you're like, man, this would be really good to have. I could do this. When you don't get it, you're not like extra let down. I used to believe I'd be extra let down.
That. Yeah.
So I used to be like, build this like armor of apathy and sort of prediction of like, no way this happens. And in my head, I'm like, oh man, wouldn't it be great if this happened?
Yeah.
And then I think it might be smarter for me to just go like, man, wouldn't that, because then at least you get that week long of like, this would be cool as
hell. Feeling good.
Yeah. It would be cool as hell to be in this movie.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it. You're like, bummer. But if you're like, no way I fucking got that.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it. You're like, see?
Yeah.
You know, and arguable whether you can't
change someone else's mind once you've done it. But yeah. it might not hurt to just stay in the positive headspace. That's something I'm working on in 2020.
The positive thing is great. You're so correct because it's like you want to get positive about it. But the problem is with a big movie role, which we've all been up for, if you come close, you don't just think about, oh, this is going to be great to be on set and work with these people. You start to think shit like this. Well, great, then I'll obviously be at the premiere, then I'll obviously meet this I could probably get this person to EP this pilot I'm currently writing. Obviously I'll buy a fucking
Well, once
Tesla,
you're also got a pretty good movie role, there's plenty more movie roles
I guess
around
I'll just do this. And then when you don't get it, you're like, but that would have changed my life. I had my life. I had 15 years writing on this. Like last year,
the joke I always say is like I auditioned for a pilot called Friends in Law, and I tested for it. And I'm like, when I don't get it, I'm like, I already had the boat named Friends in Law in my head. Like I already spent the money that I wasn't even. I was like in my head. I was like, bro, definitely down payment on a house in Los Feliz. You know, I'm like, what am I talking about?
I got that. Obviously, I'll open up my little acting studio. I've always wanted to do that. Obviously, with my second or third.
I gotta go to New Zealand again. You know,
That's like,
and then it doesn't happen. You're like, what the fuck? And then you're like, oh, the crazy shit you need to like internalize is that it almost never happens.
Ever.
It's very rare. You have to try. You have to get close 10 times to get it once. It's like, and once you know that, and then like once you believe that, you're like, oh, okay. Well, that's the because the other mistake I've been making in my career is. Every time I make a big, what I consider like a level up or a next step up, I think that's the new normal.
Yeah, I'm not going back to doing this shit again.
Right? Or like, I was the lead in an indie movie.
Yep.
Well, now I'm a guy who can be a lead in indie movies.
Yes.
I've done that once. I've never been asked again.
Oh my God, the leading in an indie movie, the same shit happened to me. I was surrounded by bigger actors that were like, in this movie I was in called 5 Years Apart, there was Michael Vlamis, who's now on Roswell, New Mexico, getting 3 seasons. Chloe Bennett, who just finished as the lead in Marvel's S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then she was the lead in Abominable. And then Scotty Foster was a lead in My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and Ali Mackie is in the new Toy Story 4, and then there's just me. And then I was around all these people, and I was like, guys, this is great. We're all working actors. We'll do this. Within 6 months, I was back to being a nanny, and they all went back to their starring roles in TV shows. And I was like, fuck!
But then you realize, like, you could have been a nanny without ever, you could have been a consecutive nanny without ever getting that movie.
Yeah.
And your life is better because you got to do the movie.
Yeah.
And And that's like the attitude you need to tweet. And I'm saying this to you like, come on, Loewy, wrap your head around that.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. Whenever your friends are like, well, it could have been worse. You could have not got the movie. And then you just say, yeah, it could have been never. Shut the fuck. You don't know.
No shit, I could step outside and get hit by a truck tonight.
Bro, my girlfriend heard it for 6 months. Last year, I had borderline mental breakdown. I came within a bee's dick to playing Kano in the new Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh.
Came down to like me and a few other Australians. And then the guy who got it was clearly a better option. And then I was just so sad.
Oh, see, I feel you on that. But that's the time when I'm at my defense is at the strongest.
Yeah.
Is when I can use my taste to go, it would be the right move to have that person.
Yeah.
If I can intellectualize it, I could almost handle it. If I can go, well, yeah, of course go with him. He's got more credits. Yeah, he's got more.
He had more credits direct.
Arguably better. You know, it's like, and that's great. And then, but I want to. I can almost always do that. But then sometimes when you're like, fuck, man, I almost did this. It's so hard. But then, it's that thing where almost getting that role is a success.
Yes.
Because it's the furthest you've ever been.
Yep.
A producer, a director, and a casting director, everyone saw you. Your own team is like, whoa, maybe we got a little movie star on our hands. You know what I mean? Like, everything is positive about it.
Yeah.
Except for the fucking kick in the dick at
the
end.
You didn't get it. Yeah, like if me could tell me when I was 15 and that terrible Mortal Kombat movie came out and I was like, hey, someday you're going to get close to playing that guy, I'd be like this. Fuck yeah.
That's amazing.
Adult me's the shit. Put on me. And then adult me's like, that ain't what you think, kid.
Nah, fuck them.
Nah, just putting lit cigarettes out of myself. It's a terrible nightmare.
And it's crazy how something that's positive, like, wow, a real step in my career, because you didn't get it and because whatever, like, you put on it psychologically,
yeah,
it fucked you up. For
well, I was like, well, this means I get to go to Comic-Con and sit on a panel, and yeah, then I'll get new followers. And if I get at least 30K followers, I'll be allowed to tour more.
Right.
And then it was like a, and then I won't have to go back to anything ever again. And yeah, then this is that, and that's that. And then when they were like,
you're already like, you're 3 years down, yeah, and you're like, yeah, then I have the money to like, yep, finally get that thing I want. Yeah. And you're like, what am I doing?
Yep. Yeah. Like James Wan was producing. So I was like, okay, well, obviously I'll pitch in my show Qualify, get that. And then he'll jump on that. Oh, Craig, this is great. Next 3 years is mapped out, baby. We're good.
Yeah. And like, you're talking to your reps. You're like, everything's going to be okay. They're like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, sure.
Pump the brakes.
They asked your availability.
I rep the other guy who's getting it. Yeah. So just slow down.
God, that always sucks. I'm like, who got it? They're like, Trevor, but don't worry. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Right. Yeah. Right. That's cool.
Yeah. That's like me and John Gemberling, who look pretty similar and go out for all the same roles,
yeah,
have the exact same team, agents and managers.
Yeah.
So we're constantly at the same auditions around the same time. And like, I'll be like we both, the aforementioned pilot, we both tested for it. Just the two of us. The studio session had three people. When we got to the network session, it was just the two of us, head to head, like best friend. I'm like, well, and then I was like, when I didn't get it, I was like, so Gemberling got it? And they were like, my team was like, yeah. And I'm like, well, aren't you happy about that? They're like, well, you know, that's like, not on the phone with you.
It's like, no, you.
I'm like, no, that's such bullshit. You got two horses in the race, and yeah, this horse is getting taken to behind the barn and get a fucking shotgun in his ass.
Yeah, you know, he's just in his office, like looking at everyone, like, oh, you didn't get it.
Yeah, he's taking it okay.
Yeah, he's gonna be okay.
Yeah, did you send the champagne and flowers to him? He's okay. Cancel the champagne. He didn't get it. What is Feels? F-E-A-L-S. It's premium CBD delivered directly to your door. Feels is CBD. It makes you naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. It's just sublingual drops. You drop a few, and if you're confused about, you drop a few under your tongue, and the difference hits you in minutes. If you're new to CBD, Feels even offers a CBD hotline and text message support to help guide your personal experience. And here's the thing. Feels has no high, no hangover, or no addiction. It's just CBD. So enjoy. It's a membership. So join the Feels community. You get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Okay? So I enjoy Feels. I was taking CBD before bed or on a day where I had a bunch of stressful stuff to do, and being stoned with THC would not be helpful, i.e. days of auditions or days of work. So I'll take a few drops of CBD, and then Feels, you know, asked to be a sponsor of the podcast. I tried their stuff and I really enjoy it. It's quality. It doesn't have strong taste. It doesn't give you that super oily mouthfeel. And it works. And the dosages are great. So if you need a bunch of CBD, it's only a few extra drops. And if you don't need a bunch of CBD, it's just less drops. It's very easy to keep track. So do yourself a favor. Become a member today and you can get 50% off your first order. Okay. So here it is. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/mighty, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y, to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/mighty. The big game is just around the corner, which means lots of good times with good friends, but more importantly for me, lots of good food. That's why I like ButcherBox, because first of all, tell me this deal isn't made for Gabrus listeners or High and Mighty listeners and for myself. ButcherBox is offering free wings for life when you sign up now. It's a free add-on wings to whatever ButcherBox monthly or bi-monthly, whatever meat subscription you come up with. So do yourself a favor. Get on ButcherBox. It ships a curated selection of high-quality meats right to your home. Antibiotic-free, no added hormones. Each box is about 10 pounds, enough for 24 meals. It's packed fresh, shipped frozen, and vacuum-sealed. It's very easy. It goes right from the container into your freezer and then out for defrosting when you're ready to go. They got grass-fed beef, free-range chicken, heritage pork, wild-caught salmon, nitrate-free bacon.
It's truly the way meat is supposed to be. So if you're thinking of throwing a little Super Bowl party, the big game is around the corner, you want to make something, here's my go-to recipe that I use my Butcher Box chicken stuff for. I put like a pound or two of chicken thighs and a pound or two of chicken breasts, white and dark meat, into the slow cooker with some beer and some barbecue sauce, like preferably like some kind of Hawaiian-ish barbecue sauce, like a sweet... add some sliced pineapple. Let that stew around in there for slow cook, slow and low, as long as you have the time for it. Then I like take out a bunch of like the watered down juices, pull the chicken really nice so it's like a shredded chicken, then add more BBQ sauce in there and get that stirring. And I get myself a pulled Hawaiian chicken that's great for dipping chips into, slapping on some little mini King's Hawaiian buns. Or if you're like a total paleo guy, just eat it right out of the thing. It works awesome. So right now you can get free wings for life plus $20 off your first box. That's 3 pounds of wings in every box for the life of your subscription, plus $20 off your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/mighty or use promo code mighty at checkout. That's butcherbox.com, butcherbox.com/mighty, or use promo code mighty at checkout, MIGTHY.
Another thing I do after those things is I write a new thing I've started doing about 8 months ago. I write like a letter to the universe and then a different letter to money, because, and this is a weird one that I read for not in like How to Be a Billionaire books, but it was like a self-help thing. A lot of people have such a terrible relationship with money that when it comes up in your mind, you're like, oh, fuck money. All my problems are about money. And then this book I read was like, imagine if money was a human being and it found out all that shit you were talking about it, would it want to hang out with you? And you were like, no. Yeah. So now I write these letters to money, and this is so weird. I'll be like, hey, money, it was good of you to show up. Be great if you could show up again. I got this thing on. Here's how much I was thinking of mine. Hopefully I'll see you soon. My hit ratio from doing that is like 80%. There's been times I've just been like, hey, it'd be cool if you could show up like with something unexpected. And then I'll get like a $7,000 residual from something I wrote 14 years ago. And I'll be like, yes.
Well, what do you think causes that? What do you think? What is the connection there? Is it a cosmic connection that you find retroactively because that check was going to come in? Arguably, yeah, that residual check should come in anyway.
Yeah.
But you write the letter and then it comes and you're like, well, maybe I do have some agency in my life, and maybe that's all we need to hear
is that
we have some control over what happens to us.
Yeah, it's such a great way to look at it, because a part of me is like, oh, it's because I wrote that letter on my Mac, when in actuality, it could be a number of things. It could be the fact that I put that in my mind that I needed to work because I wanted that thing.
Right.
It could be that I put it out into the universe, or it could be like one of those John Edward moments when I'm like, does anyone here know a Simon? Is there a Simon over here? And all I'm doing is, money would be good next month.
And right, and like, the next month you find a dollar outside your car and you're like, I did it. I summoned this. And you're like, wait, but last month it was a $7,000 residual check. How am I? I can't equate these.
Yeah. But also what's weird is that sometimes if I'm worried about money, the letters seem real sort of desperate, like a guy trying to make a girl fuck him. So I'm just like,
I mean, that's my relationship with money, is like, I have a little bit of it. I need more because I want to own a home.
Yeah.
And in order to get, but it is like, there's some money over there. Okay, wish me luck, boys. I'm going to go. Like, it is like hitting on a girl at the bar. You're like, I'll be right back. Let me see if I can get that money.
Yeah. I'll read the letters back and it'll be like, hey, money, man, you're looking good. It'd be so tight. Man, if you came over to my house and my girl wasn't home, I'd fuck the shit out of you on that couch, money. Do you understand? I will cheat on her in front of her with you.
I love you, money.
Yeah.
Come back to me, baby.
My letters to the universe are a different story. After I didn't get Mortal Kombat, I'd start writing a letter to the universe, and then it would just sort of turn into a hate speech.
Yeah, but maybe part of that is also just getting that out of your system, and writing it is the same. Writing it is a little bit more powerful than saying it.
Yeah.
So you write it, and you're like, okay, I put that out there. And then especially if you read it back, and you're like, why am I so upset about not getting Kano? You know what I mean? Like, when you, because that's all you need is like,
like, it's, and this is so, I, obviously, for the listeners, we should just put a, slap a little caveat here. We understand these are champagne problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's people losing their homes in my country right now due to fires. Right, and I'm over here like, didn't get that shitty Mortal Kombat reboot. Like, okay, friend. Poor little fella.
It's so, it's so true. Yeah, you're like, we're on the brink of war. And I'm like, I hope I get Brooklyn Nine-Nine someday.
Look, these are Hollywood problems. Yeah. If you're in Des Moines, we sound like assholes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're in Hollywood and not doing even as well as us, we sound like assholes.
Yeah.
Because that's the hard thing. Because if I'm listening to a podcast that has Paul Rudd and so-and-so, I'm trying to think who else. Who, let's be Josh Gad and Chris Hemsworth.
Great. Beautiful way to do
and
that.
They're talking and they're like, man, I really wanted this. And I'm listening to that. I'm like, fuck these guys.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to I always like to remember that there was somebody who's like 4 years behind me.
Yes.
That would kill to have done Drunk History or whatever. These cool, these things that now that I've done them, I'm like, next, give me the next big thing. Fuck this. I'm better than that. I'm like ready to move on.
Yeah.
And then there's someone who's a couple of steps behind me going, this dude is a dick. I would kill to be where he is.
Yeah.
But there's someone a couple of steps behind them and they're like, I don't want to teach at UCB anymore. And that person's like, I would kill to teach at UCB. You know, like it's just all these steps along the way. Everybody, like my most successful friends are mad at people that are more successful than them because they're not as successful as this. And I'm like, get your shit together. And then I realize I'm the same exact fucking way.
Yeah. That's so true. It's weird. If you could say anything to yourself from 5 years ago, all the stuff you've accomplished last year, you'd be like, my man, we had a great year. So we're happy. And you're like, nah, we're finding shit to complain about. But yeah, on the books, it was a great, I had a brilliant year last year. I think it was the reason I came into this year so hot and heavy and just ready to have some fun. Cause I was like, I don't have to be an angry bitch anymore. I don't have to keep blaming all my problems on other people. I can figure out those problems. I can figure them out myself in a healthy manner. I'm in a healthy relationship. Well, I mean, you've been with your girl like 16 years.
A long ass time. Yeah. 16 years.
So you're probably at that point where the arguments are brief. And now my girl and I are to the point, we've been together 4 years, obviously not 16 years, but we'll be able to be like, thank you for sharing that problem with me. I feel this. Great. I'm this. Let's both change it. And you're like, great. Whereas you were to be like in your early 20s, you're like, you're just going to fucking wear shoes?
Yeah. You're
like, what?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I've learned to, like, we just like, we have the ability to just wrap it up where we're just like, all right, let's be honest. Like, we often have this conversation. Are we going to, how long are we not going to talk to each other for? We live here. We live together. We have weekend plans.
Yes.
It's a Friday night. One of us slipped up and said something that annoyed the other one. That person overreacted back, which is usually the case because you're carrying your baggage from whatever else is going on in your life. And then we're like, all right, well, we'll just, we do that thing where you exist in the same house, but kind of like don't speak to each other.
Yeah.
You're like, here's your laundry. Thank you. You know, like, and that's it. Like, do we still want to go out to dinner with them on Saturday? Yes. But we're not really hanging out. And then we're like, okay, we have plans this weekend. We have to talk to you. And we both know it. And it's like, we've both become okay with it used to be about winning. Now it's about ending it. And I think that's like the thing, the best advice I can give to young couples, especially speaking from a male perspective, to young hetero couples, to the men, don't worry about winning the fight.
Oh, it's pointless.
Think about ending the fight. And I don't mean like say, okay, fine, it was my fault if it wasn't. I'm just saying like there's no tally at the end of like a year of a relationship where you're like, well, I won 9 more fights than you, so you owe a dinner. No, it doesn't work.
No
like
one
that.
Comes in with a belt and a trophy like, hey, my guy, you were silent longer.
Yeah.
Right. Just doesn't happen.
That's the joke I say to Tiff all the time. I'm like, are you gonna like win by wait out talking to your husband? Like, that's like what a weird victory. I'm like, nah, I 4 hours I've gone without speaking to her and she's in the same house as me. It's like, that's not cool.
It's not.
Yeah.
And you always find because you're in love with each other, you can still fucking hate each other in the moment and still very much be like, I love you unconditionally. Yeah. We'll figure this out. I'm finding Netflix has been a saver of our relationship a lot of times because
you could just sit in silence next to each other.
You can sit in silence, but then like, you both know you're excited about something. So, like, I think we recently got into something. I forget what it was. I think she just keeps forgetting to lock everything, like car doors and homes. So we didn't talk for an hour. And then I saw there was new episodes of The Crown on. And then I was like, well, I mean, if you want to come, there's Crown's back on if you want to maybe sit here.
Like, well, fine. If you're going to watch it, I'll watch it. Like, you will sit, watch your favorite show together, but angry. Yeah.
And then, and then 6 minutes in, we're like, oh, this new Phillip's a dick.
That's awesome. While we're just talking about Netflix, highly recommend Sex Education.
Love that show.
Season two is about to drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one was so good.
And see, I've seen some of season two. It's even better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I've only watched the first two episodes, but it feels like they went bigger with like production value and stuff. And I've been in love with Gillian Anderson since I was like fucking 12 years old.
Dude, her playing
and
just
she's
a
even
nymph.
Hotter now. She's only gotten hotter as she got older.
I don't know how she does it.
I know. She's just a person. It just takes someone who's like, for me, I realize now my type of woman is someone who's like confident, sexy, and intense. Like,
yeah.
There's something about like everyone that I really like, my wife, my friends, the people that I'm most attracted to are people who are opinionated, intense, probably like arguably like not ideal for me, who's also opinionated and intense.
Yes.
But there's something about we all have this energy where we go in, we can like box each other and then be like, all right, well, let's go, you know?
If anything happened between my girl and I would definitely end up dating a feminist comedian. Right? Just because you see him on stage and they're like, men won't date me because I'm confident and I got opinions. And I'm in the back of the room like, oh,
I love you.
God. If I was single, the conversations I would have with you.
And it's fun. And there's something about seeking that out in other people, and not because you're passive and need someone else to steer the boat, but because you're like, no, let's fight over the rudder. Because I think it's just going to get us in a better path to keep this boat analogy going.
That's a beautiful boat analogy.
I haven't been on a boat in a day. I got it all figured out. It's my first mate.
You know when you're on the poop deck and you're just like, the fuck is he talking about over there?
I'm in over my head. So the jib sail is swinging. Like, oh God, I'm running out of boat stuff.
I love my girl's like, how was the podcast? I'm like, Cabris had a 45-minute boat analogy that no one could figure out.
You got library books under your arm. It's like, what does maritime law have to do? I don't know. Gabris was talking all this shit. I got to learn about latitude and longitude to understand his podcast.
That's so funny. I think if I had told myself from 5-6 years ago I'd be doing this with you, I'd be like, I made it. Because this is a weird story. The first time I ever saw you, I was like 6 years into stand-up, and a bunch of comedians back when we were coming up were like, if you want your act outs to be good, you gotta take a UCB class. And I was like, sounds like shit. And then you do UCB classes, and then you're like, everything I was doing before sucked. And then I had to watch you in ASCAT, and then we started working together on MTV2. And then we got stuck doing that pilot together, which was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you, for guys, listen, we did a pilot called 1v1, where Gabris was the host and celebrities would play video games and roast one another. Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all.
Great idea.
Maybe not ideal for television, per se.
Maybe a web series. Maybe, you know what it would be? I think it would be like a Snapchat channel.
Yeah, it should be Twitch in reality.
Absolutely.
It is video games. And we had Jerry Ferrara and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Head-to-head.
Yeah. And here's the kicker. It's a roast show. They'd planned it for a month. The talent shows up, and then we get this note. Talent didn't know they were going to be roasting each other. I'm like,
yeah, we soft played roasting because we didn't want people. And then then next thing you know, we're just in over our heads. Like, we need softer jokes. It's like, no, that's not. And meanwhile, it's like fucking Ray James, who's like a fucking legend of the roast circuit. Yeah. Like all like hard R tough comedians. And we're like,
he'd come in with an abortion joke. And I'm like, I don't know if Jerry's going to be okay with that. And this is back when Ronda Rousey went dark. Remember, she wasn't talking to Ant. Could she just...
Well, because we couldn't even talk about
it. Couldn't bring it up. They were like, remember they said that on the phone. I don't know if we're allowed to bring it up, but they were like, it was because I wrote a joke about it. They were like, mentally, she hasn't dealt with it. And you can't bring it up because in her mind,
it was
never
so
happened.
Close to her big loss,
which would make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and like, you know, she lost a big fight. Was it to Holly Holm or the one after that?
It was her comeback fight. The second one, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then she lost that. But I mean, Imagine if you bombed in front of everyone you've ever known ever around the planet.
At a sport, at like, in addition to like, that's like bombing in a stand-up special, your stand-up show. But it is like, you're like, my $1 million stand-up special is this Saturday.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers, I'm going to kill it. And then you go out there and the guy who's also performing is way better than you.
Yeah, your opener kills you.
You're like, fuck
me. And then you bomb.
Like, that's so hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except also, there's something about fighting that's so primal where you are truly defeated by that person. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I don't know, that could, I kind of like Nanette's jokes better than blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, like, you can go like a semantical. You can't go semantical if you're on the ground saying, I give up.
Yeah,
like,
fighting is not subjective. It is literally a submission and you are knocked the fuck out. Like, it's not like you say I got my ass kicked. It's 100% you would say you got your ass kicked. Yeah. Yeah. And she was so lovely.
It ended up being, and I will shout out Jerry Ferrara too. I always thought he was going to be at least pretty cool. And he fucking is. Yeah. They're lovely. Totally normal people.
Lovely, easy to work with. They were super chill.
There was a moment when I hugged Ronda Rousey and I was like, this rules. Like, she's like, her traps, like in her upper back, was like, it was like hugging like a second rower. You know, I was like, she's like, I'm 6'1 and a half, 6'2. She's like 5'9 or 5'10. And like, her arms went right around me. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'm like, choke me. Please put me in a guillotine. Yeah, she would love to hear that we're talking about
it. She'd be cool with it.
She just kicks the door down.
Yeah.
Listen up, bitches. Works us both. Wait, so let's talk a little bit about, because I like all the shit you're talking about, self-care. I wasn't even thinking when we were talking about self-help, self-care, I wasn't even thinking like that sort of like visualization shit. I was thinking more along the lines of like, stuff I've learned in the last couple of years is that I need certain things outside of my career and relationship that help me feel better as a person.
Yeah.
And some of them, I didn't know it, but it all makes sense. Like, I'm a lifelong gym rat and athlete, quote unquote, not athletic, but I played sports my whole life, even in my 20s and 30s. And when I stopped doing that, like for the last couple of years, I'm like, well, whatever, who cares? I'm fat. I smoke weed. I write. Right. I didn't realize that I was like arguably depressed because I wasn't being myself that I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And now, even though I've lost a little bit of weight, it's not even about that. But now that like my arms feel sore or like my legs are like harder or I'm competing against anything or anyone or like trying to, military press this yesterday. Let me do 5 more pounds. And like, just these little things make me feel like such a better version of myself.
Yes.
That I'm walking into auditions where it's not even about, oh, do you have big traps or not? But the fact that my traps feel like kind of swollen in the moment, I walk in, I go, oh, and I didn't realize this is the confidence I needed.
Yeah.
It's like I needed.
Yeah.
I am a confident person, but it's easy for the second you walk into an audition or a meeting to realize the status is completely off and you're like, shit, I'm usually high status in my interactions. Now I'm low status. Fuck, I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah.
But if you walk in and you feel good about who you are, you feel good about, it's not even about the material or what you're pitching or what you're reading at this point. For me, it's like, as long as I'm coming in there and going, you're getting Gabrus at 100, you're getting Gabrus at 90%+.
Yeah.
Then I can't do much better things for myself.
No.
Yeah.
And if you're in a good headspace, there's just something about you when you're glowing, people around you can feel it and they want to be around you more.
Yeah.
When you smile more, and I'm not saying, hey ladies, you gotta smile. I'm saying smile at the small shit in life. The postman, you run into him, say g'day.
Yeah.
Like it's small things that you don't have to, like each morning I get up early, I get up at like 6:30. I go to the gym purely because it releases endorphins in my mind. And for the rest of the day, I don't feel like a fat sack of shit.
Right.
That's what, now it's just, it becomes a positive that I get muscles from it, but I'm doing it for mental health.
Yeah. And that's what I'm doing this. I didn't realize it. I'm doing, and that's why when I was like, well, who cares if I'm jacked? Like being fat is funny. That's a character type. And then like a couple years of not exercising and I just was like, didn't realize how shitty I was feeling.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh, I got to put on a fucking shirt and go to this audition. Ugh. Yeah. I got to wear a belt and shoes. I'm uncomfortable, you know? And like,
especially rugby players like yourself, like if you're legs aren't moving, you're not releasing that testosterone that you were doing when you were with because I don't even want to know how much they were making you squat. Like, if you've ever seen what they make rugby players squat, they might as well just put two villages on either side of a stick.
I know, like the Franks brothers, like the Owen and Ben, the New Zealand guys, they just like bang out 400 each for reps. They're brother props. It's fucking unreal. But it's that thing. And I got a taste of it when I was in New York. Some of the best I was feeling in New York was when I was doing CrossFit, I was playing men's league rugby. So like I gave a speech at a rugby dinner one time. I gave a speech that was like, I have this career, and I thought this is all I needed in life, cause I attach so much success and validation to it. But the fact that between two practices and a match on Saturdays, there's like 5 hours a week where I'm not thinking about auditions or anything. Yeah. I'm just thinking about tackle that motherfucker or don't get tackled by that motherfucker.
Yep.
And like the fact that my brain just goes to that, like this last year I did 2 half marathons, not a runner.
Great.
I did it. And then just when you're running, you're not thinking of like
nothing.
Having one, I'm realizing for myself too, and this is like the kind of self-care shit I've been learning in the last couple of years, having a goal outside of my career makes me a much better, stronger person.
It'll make your career better, your life better. If you have something that has nothing to do with either of those two, it's just whether it be camaraderie with other people playing sports, because you're all moving together for one goal and you get that human interaction that is primal, that we all used to be in packs. We used to travel together.
Yeah.
That's one thing. If people spent, and I honestly believe if we spent less time reading tweets about each other and how shitty we all are, with everyone being like, well, you're a fucking idiot. Well, you're a fucking idiot. It's like, have you gone outside? Most people aren't fucking idiots. Most people are worried about the same thing we're all worried about.
Right.
People just want to laugh, feel comfortable, and not feel stupid.
Yes.
That's every human being.
We can't help it. We're worried about that, and we're all worried about it. And then we all interact in like the public square that is the internet. We're like, my life's more important. We're all protagonists in our own movies. Yeah. I get that. So, and I'm guilty of that as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're all, if you just put yourself in someone else's shoes for a hot minute, if you just think like, I always say like, and my wife gets so mad when she's like, look at this asshole driving on the road. I'm like, what if he's on the phone with his like uncle hearing about his cousin's leukemia? Yeah.
I do that. When people speed in and out of me, I'm like, this fucking guy, you know what? I'm going to fucking box him in. And then in my head, I'm like, imagine if he just found out his dog got out of the house.
Yeah, or he has diarrhea. Even. Yeah. Like on the lower, like, you're like,
both of those things are just on the same bar.
The dog has diarrhea and it's loose.
It should be easy to find. There's a trail. Yeah.
Follow the trail of fucking peanut butter stains. And I find having these hobbies or goals or tasks that, because you, especially with our careers, and I'm sure a lot of people's careers are similar in this way, whether it's entertainment or what, there isn't like an objective, like, oh, you finished. You know what I mean? Like, good work. You're like, you know, like, I guess maybe in a factory, you're like, hey, you have to build 40 cars today.
Yeah.
When you build 40 cars, you can kick back, crack your knuckles.
Yeah.
We don't feel true accomplishment often. So adding like arguably like, you know, proxy accomplishments of finishing a half marathon is like something I never thought I could do.
Yeah.
Just like I never thought I could be the lead in a movie. You know what I mean? So it's like, just the fact that I do that means, hey, I set my mind to something and did it.
Well, yeah.
I think I could do it in other things. And then not to mention, training for a half marathon requires you to like get out of your house and run in the sunshine and interact with the world.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, you have to like, maybe not drink because tomorrow you have to run 8 miles and then you're taking it. It's like all these little tweaks your body and your mind does. And you're like, oh, like I still play rugby once a year, like in a travel match somewhere. I'm playing in Scotland in this fall. And I just do that so that like I have something to train for, something to look forward to. And then that weekend, it's like I'm not waiting to hear back from so-and-so about this AMC pilot.
Yeah.
Here I am just fucking going to Scotland. I'm going to get fucking shit face on scotch and get my ribs cracked, you know, and I'm gonna tear an ACL.
You're absolutely correct. Another thing, have you ever tried meditating?
That is on my list of 2020 habits.
Okay.
Yeah, because my first habit I had to add was brushing my teeth every night. I brush my teeth every morning, but I never brush my teeth at night because I'm a lazy stoner who like wants one more hit of weed and then I'll get into bed.
There's someone listening to this right now like, doesn't brush his teeth at night. But when you think about it, 9 times out of 10, we all forget to brush our teeth at night.
It's just so much easier to go right to bed.
Yeah.
But I have like, I did Invisalign that like helps straighten my teeth and I'm supposed to wear these retainers at night, but you can't slap them in dirty either because it just traps. So you so now I went like a month without brushing my teeth at night or wearing the Invisalign and my teeth started to get kind of fucked up and grimy and I'm like, I have to add that. And I'm flossing again and I have to add meditation. That's nice for me.
Meditation's hilarious because I started doing this one. It's called The Honest Guys. I just listen to them off YouTube. They do guided meditations. And this guy has such a beautiful voice that when he talks, it's like piano music and he walks you through it. So he'll be like, picture yourself in a garden. And then you'll be like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm in a garden.
This fucking garden, dude.
Yeah,
I love this flower.
Yeah, they put the sound effects in. It's like, now there's a stream and the music's playing. What's hilarious, though, is if I don't want to listen to those guys for whatever reason and I try and listen to someone else, I'll skip forward to hear their voice because sometimes people don't know mic etiquette. They just know what they want to say. So it turns into like ASMR.
Yeah, they're like popping their peas loud in the mic.
You hear them like, okay, now you're in a river.
And you're like, get me out of here, get me out of here. I'm like, are you eating Play-Doh when you're talking? That's meditation is something I've been meaning to add. And here's something I did add into my regimen, which I always really loved, but now I have access to it at my gym, and I is a sauna. And I love a post-workout sauna.
Oh,
I love a morning sauna or a night sauna, however I could do it. That's my rich guy goals is to have a sauna and a plunge pool at my house.
Woo!
Where in the morning I sauna, get out, jump in freezing cold water, get out, drink a nice coffee, and my whole day is ready to rock. I started saunaing at the gym, and now I've been doing like 20 minutes after I work out, and I've been working out multiple times a week for the first time in like 8 years.
Yeah.
And I find the sauna is so good for me. I feel so good when I get out of it. And then I started to think that I think part of it is 15 to 20 minutes where I have no screen.
Silence.
Arguably not talking because no one's really talking. So you're just kind of sitting there with your eyes closed, staring ahead and like wandering your brain. I'm like, oh, I'm getting a little bit of the meditation lick off this. I'm getting a little bit of that juice. And then that made me think like, well, I think I should fully add meditation then.
Yeah.
And everyone I know who's doing it is loving. I was doing Headspace for a while, but I just keep forgetting. You know?
Yeah.
And then recently I was hanging out with a friend and he does TM and he's like, we're just hanging out in his apartment. He's like, hey man, I'm going to just jump into my bedroom and I'll be back in like 15, 20 minutes. Watch whatever you want. Grab something out of the fridge. And I was like, that's so reasonable. That's just like dropping a deuce. I'm like,
yeah.
But when my wife's home, I feel weird being like, hey, can you leave me alone for 15 minutes while I go do a guided meditation?
Yeah.
I'm like, but now it's like, if I was taking a shower, you'd have to leave me alone for 15 minutes. And I'm like, I might as well just do it.
But then it falls into one of those weird things. Once again, as men, I don't know why, we just feel uncomfortable saying we're doing nice things for ourselves with our own time.
I admit.
Feels weird.
It's hard. It's hard to say, like, I'm treating myself in some way.
Because I don't know what that... Like, if we were to just be like, I'm just going to go get myself a steak dinner. Just by myself. I'm just going to go sit. I'm just going to go read a book in the park. People would be like, you okay? Like, but for some reason, we've just been conditioned to be like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm allowed to just go. I'm a grown-ass adult male. I'm allowed to go and meditate for 15 minutes. But you say it to your girl, and you're like, I'm just going to go meditate for... I don't know. I'm going to jerk off. Fuck it.
Who cares? I go to when the weather gets a little warmer, I'll go to the beach, like, at least try to go at least once a week and go by myself if I have to. And I remember being like, telling someone that, they're like, what do you do at the beach by yourself? And I'm like, I don't know. I like read or smoke weed or I swim or I just sit there.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my God. And I said to someone, I'm like, I just don't feel good unless I get some sunshine and some beach time in each week. And then they were like, oh yeah. So it's like, you know, that's your church. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That is, I was going to the beach rules. But I would never think, you know, I feel better as a person if I get to go to the beach.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, I got to start doing that.
There's so many free things you can do that make you feel nice. And I know everyone...
And they're all individually dependent. Like, everyone has something different that they do.
Yep.
And the funny thing is when you realize, like, you start meditating and you're like, ooh, I, I, you don't know if you can like quantify why you're feeling better, but you're like, overall, I feel better. And then you're like, fuck, what would happen if I did this for the 3 years I was feeling like shit?
Yeah. Like so much like retroactively looking back now when I'm like, I wasn't really angry about that thing. I was angry about this other thing, but this thing led me to here. Either way, I'm here now. I mean, you can always look back and be like, fuck, if I'd started stand-up 10 years earlier, where would I be right now?
If I
would
have went to NYU instead of a college outside of the city, I could have, like, you could easily do all that.
Yeah.
But everyone's path is their path. Like, for example, like, I thought I was depressed about how my career was going when I wasn't exercising or taking care of myself or eating healthy and I was drinking all the time and smoking weed all the time. I was like, oh, I'm depressed because my career is not going well. I'm coping. Let's say that's 2018. 2019, I start therapy. I start exercising again. All this stuff. I train for half marathons. I get scuba certified. All these like events that I've always been dreaming of doing. I do them. My career is arguably the same as the year before, but I feel 75% better about how it went. And then I'm like, oh, it's not about anything. It's about me. It's about internally how I feel. And once you start feeling better inside, the other shit just starts falling in place. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, because you're making fun decisions that are good for you in a weird way
that you
don't even know.
You're making them from a place of like, you're not making them from a desperate place.
No.
Like, I feel like this will be the thing that saves me.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Like this, okay, this choice I'm making now, if I don't get this job that pulls me out of the fucking awful rut I'm in, like this will be the thing that, and then you put all this weight on, if I get Kano, my whole life will be better.
Yeah.
And then, but if you're going, my life's amazing, hopefully I get Kano and it gets slightly more amazing, that's a whole nother vibe to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of the times you forget what's around you. You're just so focused on in front of you. Like, we're in the same boat. It's like, I got a great girl. I'm in a great apartment. I've got my fucking health. No one I know in my family has passed away in a fucked way. Like, I've got, if I was to count my blessings, they way outweigh this Kano thing. I just, which is a dangerous thing again, that we refer to it as leveling up or a destination. Like, well, if I get this, it's going to be this. And I can tell you, the biggest comedian right now probably wishes he was fucking Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt probably wishes he was Bon Jovi.
Right.
No one at any level is like, I'm here.
Right.
I'm happy. I'm here.
Oh, and that's part of what, you know, like, you can get, it can get a little cloudy between, like, bitterness and ambition. You know, like, it is good to want more.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to want more. It's bad to be upset if you don't get more. Is that like way, that's way too many words, but you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what
you
mean. It's almost like, maybe you've done it. We all have. I've stopped doing it over the past 3 months and the change has been so huge. I've just stopped shitting on people who are doing better than me for no reason.
Right.
Fellow comedians, when I see him on a marquee and I'm like, oh, this fucking hack, just because he opens the...
No, okay, when you... Chris D'Elia, another Netflix special? Come on. You're like, well, I do like it. I think he's funny. Yeah. Why the fuck am I mad? Yeah. I'm not even trying to get a Netflix stand-up special.
No.
And I'm like, he wasn't chosen over me.
Yeah.
Why do I care that he's...
Yeah.
And the guy's fucking great.
Yeah. I see that when I'm like, oh, blah and blah got JFL. And then I'm like, they literally asked you to submit and you said no.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, I mean, if you're going to look at it like that, then yeah.
Well, fine. Yeah. If you want to blame me, I can see how that does make absolute sense.
Yeah. Like if I'm going to take accountability for myself, and then it's like, because my agent brought this up with me, and this is probably why everyone will start seeing me posting a lot more. If you ever went to my Instagram page, you would have no fucking idea I'm a stand-up comedian. I don't post photos of me on stage. I don't post videos. I don't leave my flyers up.
And let's talk about this, because part of it is that shit of like, I don't want to do anything nice for myself. And self-promotion is like,
oh my God, people think I'm a wanker because I'm ripping on people who do that. And then I'm like, you've just lost
this
so
got
much.
This just got too real. I just talked about this with a friend. I'm like, I need to stop shitting on other people's social media stuff because I think I need to do a little bit of it.
Yep, we all do.
And now I'm going on tour and I'm like trying to sell tickets and I'm like, so I just tweeted about the show yesterday. I should wait 2 more days. It's like, no, I'm literally talking about my fucking salary. I'm talking about like my bag, and I'm interrupting getting the bag because I'm afraid that someone's going to go, Jesus Christ, Gabrus really wants people to go to Philadelphia to see him do his podcast. And I'm like, wait, no, people... And then you tweet about something, like, you're like, I can't keep promoting this show. Then you tweet about it, and someone responds, oh, shit, I'm getting tickets. I had no idea. Yep. And you're like, fuck, I guess I have to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny you say that. Yeah. And that, above all things, I'd rather... I got a pedicure last year. Nice. I'd rather do that. I'm more comfortable saying I'm getting a pedicure than I am saying, hey, can you guys watch this short film I made?
Yeah, there's just something so weird that when you post something and it doesn't immediately pop, you're like, fuck, I better delete this now and get it off. I do that with tweets or a photo I'll think is cute. I'll put it up. And then if I don't immediately get showered with validation, I'm like, oh, fuck, I hope no one I like saw that. Or having famous friends and you're like, oh, God, I hope no one with clout saw that fucking thing.
I was like, oh, I don't know if they liked it yet. Yeah. Like, why do I care?
Yeah. And we don't. And the thing is, you don't have to care, but you do have to do it for your career. Like, we have to post to get people to shows, to listen to podcasts, to see our short films.
As we learn, like, we're making a lot of our money outside of the official business, like between podcasting, going on tour, stand-up gigs around town.
Yeah.
And that's all shit that's self-started. And you have to self-market. Like, there's not someone that's doing it for you. It's not like you're on NBC's Superstore and there's a department. Every single cast member of the show Superstore, which is in its fifth season or whatever, tweets, hey, new Superstore this Thursday.
Please watch.
And I don't look at them. I don't look at my friend Colton Dunn and go, the fuck is this guy promoting a show? I'm like, that's cool. He's got a show. He's promoting. It's like, I don't care when it makes total. And that's NBC. Like, I have 40,000 followers. I'm not going to swing NBC's ratings, but it is something you got to do. Like,
you have to.
Yeah. Because that's the way people communicate now. Like, unfortunately, if you feel dumb saying that about yourself, that's unfortunately how people find out. Like, I always, like, I'm hesitant to, like, tweet about my podcast. I'm like, people know about it at this point. But then I'll tweet it about it, and someone will be like, oh, shit, I love this guest you had. I had no idea you even had a podcast. And I'm like, oh, okay. So
that is literally what happened yesterday with you and this podcast. Because I was like, oh, let me go on his page, because obviously he's got photos with the guests he's had on, and then there was none of it, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, obviously High and Mighty has its own page then, and then I went looking for that, I was like, nah, okay, and then I went on and then I found the website, I clicked on it, and then I was like, oh, fuck, he had Dave Ross on, I love Dave Ross, and then I listened to the whole episode, and I was like, I mean, it took a fucking hike to find it, but I really like it now.
And that's all my own, like... I used to have a note here that said, take a picture with the guest, but I hate getting my picture taken, so I'm not going to put anyone else through.
Bro, we're taking a photo after this.
Oh, we have to. We're going to have to take a selfie together.
Yeah.
It's humiliating. Can't let anyone know about
it. No. Because you feel weird asking to take... That's another thing I started doing. I was like, I don't have any memories with my friends saved because I never just do this. Hey, man, let's take a photo.
The other thing is, I hated getting my photo taken growing up because my mom would just be like, stand over. Like, there's 1,000 pictures, this three boy shit, of me and my two brothers standing in front of random signs on our vacations where it's just like, we're all miserable in our button down shirts, clearly on our way to whatever dinner they had, like whatever Ruth's Chris is in this Bahamas hotel. And it's just the three of us standing in front of a sign that says, like, the blank hotel. And we're just like, miserable.
Yeah.
And my mom ruined photos for me. But now it's like, I think I have to start doing
it. Yeah. Because you look back and you'll be like, God, I remember that was a fun night. I'm glad I have something that puts me back in that spot.
Or when, here's the real kicker, when someone texts you or tags you or DMs you in a picture that you're in with them and you're like, thank God you took this.
Yes.
And then I'm like, wait, I could take these.
Yes.
I could make this happen. Yeah. I'm so happy someone got a photo of us at this moment. I could have been the guy that got a photo of us at that moment.
I could have had this.
I won't do it.
And another thing that hinders on your career, especially in entertainment, if you're out of sight, you are literally out of mind. They won't think of you. There are so many things I've gotten because someone will be like, oh, I saw you post up that funny video on your story. And I was like, shit, you'd be good for this. And then my friend was looking for a guy to play a douchebag. And I was like, you. And then here you are, fucking $3,000 up shooting a film. And then you're like, oh, thank God I posted that silly little stupid thing that really didn't matter.
Well, I can see it as a consumer too, when all of a sudden you're like, wow, so-and-so is really killing it. And then you're like, wait, no, I only know that because I keep seeing so-and-so show up in my timeline. Yeah. I'm like, how do I fake? And then you get that fucking actor grind shit, which I hate, but but I mean, I need to do. And that's the shit that breaks my heart, is like, do I need to be the guy that's like out here auditioning? Like, picture of the trailer, picture of the script. That's not me at all.
Yeah, you can do it. You can 100% on board with it. You don't need to fucking let everyone know you're going to a general meeting, but you can take a photo if you're on set with your friend shooting something that's really fun that someone
that's
you
my
know
rule. That's my rule too. If there's a prop, I hate saying like, I hate when people are like, big callback today. I'm like, no, show me the finished product or a shot from set or something like that.
Show me your trailer. Don't show me you're doing, don't take photos of scripts and be like, ugh, big day of auditions. It's like, we're all doing the same thing.
That's brutal. But I feel, I'm pumped now. I'm like inspired to be, 2020 is our fucking year.
Bro, this is the year it's okay to feel shit, 100% fucking talk about it.
You got permission from two of the bigger ball busters I know, me and Lo.
Yeah.
And we're telling you, do things that make you feel good, that don't hurt other people. If it's a silly thing that you're like, I really like putting my feet in warm water in my tub and reading for a half an hour, fucking start doing it, man. Mm. There's a chance that we're fucking nuked this month. And if not nuked this month, there's a chance the sun sets us all on fire in the next decade. Mm. Are you going to look back on your life and go, thank God I never meditated?
You know? Like, it's so easy to be kind and smile at your own life. Yeah. So I'm going to start just marinating in that shit this year.
Let's just be fucking choose happiness and let's just get after it.
Fuck yeah, my man.
Loey, what do you got to plug here, bud?
This
will probably come out in like a week or two.
We're doing a benefit show at the Novo Theater downtown for the Australian Fires.
Oh, awesome.
It's got Joe Rogan, Jim Jefferies, and Whitney Cummins on it. I'm just helping getting it up and running. It's going to be hosted by my mate Monty Franklin. Fucking great comic. He really helped pull this thing together. So that's happening on the 26th, which is Australia Day.
Oh, 26th of January.
Yeah, 26th of January. So I feel like coming out to that. Tickets are all going towards the animals who have been injured and the firefighters who have sort of fucking lost everything, the poor fuck.
Jesus Christ, I know. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys want to come out to that and, you know, all the dollars are going towards a good thing and you get to have a laugh doing it. So
hell yeah, let's do that. Come out there. And then what's your social media where people can see pictures of you on set?
See me and this selfie of Gabrus I'm about to take. At Loey Live is all my social handles. Don't go to loeylive.com. I forgot to renew it and now it's a Japanese porn site.
Well, I'll go to it. Don't go to this website. It's porn. Okay. Sure, man.
Wink.
Loey, that's you culturally appropriating.
Yeah, that was my bad.
I made Japanese porn. It's Australian made Japanese porn. It's very complicated. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Guys, do yourselves a favor and take some time out of the day for yourself. You're going to be happier in the long run, especially if you're like an older family man dude who's got like life, work stress, family stress.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to take 20 minutes for yourself every day.
Isn't that right, Arthur?
This is the fucking king of self-care. Look. Let me sleep 9 hours a day and then go to bed at night and sleep 9 hours a night. Loey, this was such a blast, dude.
Thanks,
mate. January 26th, Novo Theater. Get out there. And if you can't make the show, look up the cost of the tickets and just donate that straight to the charity.
Also
if
you're feeling,
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm either going to go to the show or donate. Maybe both.
Whoa.
I've got the money because I'm married to a successful woman. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.